In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us grew up in a time when the word privilege was defined a bit differently than is being used the last 2 years or so in our own American culture. We understood privilege to be something that was bestowed upon us, or perhaps earned by some specific effort. But no matter how we understood it, we always realized that it was something bestowed upon us from farther up the chain of command. In the day in which we live, the word privilege is being used sometimes as a weapon to attempt to make some feel guilty about the way that they live. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing if it's a solid reminder for us to recognize that there are many among us who take the privileges earned by generations before us for granted, and some who use it as license to take advantage of other people as well. It's a challenging conversation to have when you aren't sure for yourself in regard to your own level of living and circumstance, maybe even your own ethnicity or skin tone, as to whether you actually fit amongst those who are considered the privileged or the underprivileged, especially when you know for sure that you cannot come up with a moment in your life where you can think of that you have deliberately chosen to take advantage of what is considered privilege for your own benefit, or reduce someone else in the circumstance by the way you have seized a privilege not truly your own. Jesus doesn't exactly use the word privilege in these verses this morning, but it is absolutely what he is talking about in this conversation about humility. Jesus is wanting us to understand that the way we live our lives on a daily basis, the way we present ourselves to others, the expectations that we have of their attention and their regard, all of that speaks very clearly to what's going on in our hearts and between our ears, even if our words, maybe even sometimes our attitudes, don't demonstrate it. Still, what goes on in our thoughts is something Jesus would invite us to consider this morning as he offers us perhaps some unsolicited advice. I know most of us are not all that fond of receiving unsolicited advice, especially at a moment we might not be looking for it. But when it is our Savior Jesus speaking to us, I believe it's well worth our listen. So he advises us in these verses before us this morning in the gospel about the way we handle ourselves. And he encourages us to consider a life of self-denial. And to understand that a little better, maybe we should get into the context a little bit. Look at that first verse. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. So this was a moment with some tension attached to it. Everybody in the room was carefully observing everybody else. Everybody was taking a measure, examining, maybe trying to determine the pecking order even of who should sit where and who should interact with whom. And Jesus knows he's being watched very carefully, so he does some observing himself. We pick it up at verse 7. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In that parable of Jesus, I hear echoes of things that were told later in the New Testament that were very much a part of my growing up in a household that taught and emphasized the whole concept of humility and opportunity. One certainly would be that idea of having sober judgment, especially about yourself. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Another would certainly be from Philippians chapter 2, those verses that are in front of us on Palm Sunday, but also on another Sunday of the year, where it reminds us that we should have the same attitude as Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to put on display, but actually humbled himself, emptied himself, was willing to do that even to the point of death. Wow. You can't get any more humble than a dead body in a borrowed grave. And so it's important for us to context everything we're thinking and reacting to in these verses from Jesus in regard to who we know who he is and what he has actually done. The one who's advising us here to a life of self-denial is the ultimate example of self-denial. He is the ruler of the universe, the one who has created everything, who was willing to set aside his glory as God, all of his power, his authority, his wealth, his divinity itself, set it aside so that he could place himself beneath our needs. Not just our hunger and our thirst and our wants, but our real needs. Hell? And an answer to the pain and the anguish we deserve there? An ultimate eternal need? He experienced it. On the cross, as his Father abandoned him, he expressed that pain and that frustration and that, I should say, acknowledgement of the reality that his Father had turned his face from him as we deserved, so that you and I might be called the children of God, that we might have that identity, that acceptance, that understanding that we can live with God forever. So the one who has served us ultimately by humiliating himself beyond a degree we could even imagine is now in these verses instructing us to self-denial, advising us that it's evidenced, first of all, by a genuine humility. He's not talking about humility for a purposed outcome. If you're humble, then maybe good things will come your way. It's not about humiliating ourselves, humbling ourselves for the final, ultimate purpose of receiving some special place in heaven. What Jesus puts in front of us is not going to earn us anything from God. But what really challenges us, it seems, in regard to the world in which we live, that pretty much tells us, go big or go home, is this idea that we will find joy and blessing and fulfillment in humbling ourselves. When you go to a wedding reception and there is a seating arrangement and you stand in front of that table with all the place cards telling you what table you're going to sit at, and you're reviewing who they've got you sitting with and at what table, it is far more likely that that seating arrangement was done in a panicked, last-minute activity that was just trying to fit the right number of peoples in the party with the chairs around the table. But you and I are tempted to stand there and think, they put us with them? I'm sitting at the back? Come on. I must mean more to them than that. And we assign value to those decisions that likely had no context of value associated with them at all. And what that demonstrates is why we'll take our place at that table and we'll be happy and we'll raise our glasses and toast and we'll do all the things we're supposed to do. our attitudes and our words might not express what's going on between the ears. Value judgments, decisions on the basis of where we think we rightfully belong in the room or in life or in the company or the neighborhood or the congregation or wherever else. Do you like making an entrance? Do you like knowing when you walk through the door of that meeting or that reception or that night out at dinner or just the dining room at your home that when you arrive, somebody should pay some attention, give some notice, demonstrate how important it is that you are there? It's interesting, isn't it, that that's the way we're encouraged to live our lives in our day-to-day world. To make sure everyone acknowledges what value you bring, what you contribute, and the reality of keeping track as well. If I'm not getting the respect I believe I deserve, there's only a certain amount of time that I will put up with that before I pull the trigger on some bigger decision regarding my involvement or this or that. Does that at all sound anywhere close to what Jesus lays out for us in these verses? Rather, just the opposite. He shows us a path to genuine humility. And it's not activity and it's not a pattern as much as it's a frame of mind. And it's a frame of mind we're only going to be led to through the Word speaking its truth to us. It's a frame of mind that only believers who have sat at the feet of Jesus and understood His compassion and His unconditional love and are led by that understanding to open themselves completely, heart and mind and life, to the examination of God into every dark corner of their life and their existence with His Word, are going to find any joy or blessing because it's allowing God to show us who we really are, what we really deserve, where we really belong, and then take the journey back from that dark, awful, eternal place that is hell and all that we've made for ourselves in that hell to understanding His forgiveness, His love, His valuing us enough to live and die and rise again for us is all that we need to make our way through this world on a daily basis, demonstrating genuine humility in following His advice here by denying self and living to glorify Him and serve others. Now, I recognize that you're looking for a practical application example of this. Well, Jesus has one teed up for you right here. Read on. Then Jesus said to His host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When was the last time that you can actually remember right now that you did something truly sacrificial? It cost you something. A profound gesture that made a huge difference in the life of someone next to you that desperately needed you to be the answer. Can you come up with something? Flip it around. How grateful are you for those moments in life when maybe completely unexpectedly someone motivated by the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, in a moment you desperately needed it. surprised you with a gesture of sacrificial love, of self-denial and selfless charity that made the difference in that day and even beyond. How grateful were you? How desperate were you to show them how thankful you were that they were there for you in that moment? And has it ever motivated you to show that gratitude in something you've done, knowing that you could never truly repay them? Now Jesus asks you to take it up a notch and recognize all that God has done for you. And to recognize that He is the one who has provided everything that you have, every opportunity of your life, the people who bless your life on a daily basis. I have tried to make it a regular activity of my own, at least once a year, to take a step back and look back over the year to contemplate, to take a measurement of the things that I now have that I did not have a year ago. The people in my life that were not a part of my life a year ago. The opportunities that I have that I did not have a year ago. And every single time I do that, it stuns me, it amazes me at how generous a God is who would continually grow my life in such a way. Do you do such activities every now and then? To come to the realization that far beyond you deserve, you're deserving, or ever being able to earn from God, He has bestowed you with so much. I also have the benefit and the blessing of having relationship and some regular conversation with lifelong friends who either serve on the front lines of mission fields in desperately needy third world countries, or those doing things of a social work nature in the challenged neighborhoods of the poorest cities of the United States. And when I add that to the measurement of my life, I come to realize that it's not just the generations that lived long ago. It's today, this day, that the vast majority of the people that live on this earth that woke up this morning and breathed this world's air on this fine Sunday are amazed at the blessings of my life, my wealth, my opportunities, my relationships, and yours as well. And now Jesus steps into this conversation and says, selfless charity, self-denial, genuine humility that acknowledges every last thing we have, every opportunity that's before us is from God who has provided it to us. And in His purposes, He desires us to glorify Him and serve others, and in so doing, show the faith and the trust and the love and the thanks that is growing in our hearts as we look around the world for opportunities to show God's love and forgiveness. Now, there's one other thing I think is important for you and I to grasp when we read these verses. Jesus isn't trying to make you and I feel guilty. You and I should never feel guilty for all the privileges and opportunities that we have if all of them have come our way by God's blessing without us doing anything inappropriate to accumulate them or possess them. That's not what He's doing here. He's coming at it from the other direction. And while sure, there is challenge here, the law that will convict us, which is obvious, He doesn't desire to motivate us by that law, but rather by our relationship with Him and all that He has done for us. He's our big brother who has lived this reality and who has demonstrated this very self-denial, this genuine humility, this selfless charity. And He desires us to know the joy and the fulfillment and the blessing of following that pattern. If you do not have that experience in your backpack of your Christian life, carrying it with you, that you have at some point in your life demonstrated the kind of selfless charity that Jesus speaks of here, that reaches out to those that you know have no ability whatsoever to ever even think about paying you back for some act of generosity that changes their life. You've deprived yourself of an amazing experience of joy and fulfillment, of understanding what Jesus is saying here. And ultimately, that's what Jesus is all about, getting us to try on his advice for size and find out for ourselves that his word works, that his promises are real, and that his advice is stellar. And here he encourages us to live a selfless life, a life of charity, a life of humility, and the purpose behind it is a very simple reality. That when we do that, our lives will look very, very different from the greedy, angry, grabbing world around us. We will be exhibiting joy and contentment and a focus on the future, recognizing I have God and with that I will be content, in a way that will draw others to know what we know and to have what we have. And suddenly, standing before us is a real, live, breathing human being opportunity to share Christ and his love, his forgiveness, through his word of promise. And that is a privilege never to be taken for granted, but to always be treasured. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.